Blessed be God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, we pray that your grace may always precede and follow us, that we may continually be given to good works through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from the second book of Kings. Naaman, commander of the armies of the king of Aram, was a great man and in favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go wash in the river Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel?" Could I not wash in them and be clean? He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached him and said to him, Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, wash and be clean? So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the deeds of the Lord. They are studied by all who has dim light. His work is full of majesty and splendor, and his righteousness endures forever. He makes his marvelous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He gives food to those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the lands of the nations. The works of his hands are faithfulness and justice. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, because they are done in truth and equity. He sent redemption to his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who act accordingly have a good understanding. His praise endures forever.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. The saying is sure. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this, and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Not long ago, Kay and I were in Knoxville, where our youngest son and his family live. He has 3 little boys, ages 8, 6, and 4. It's always an adventure to visit them. Something is often broken in the roughhousing that goes on. Someone usually gets hurt, and the grandparents come away exhausted. During this visit, we went out to a restaurant for dinner, and I noticed as the boys were served their food, they each said to the waitress, "Thank you." Now, sometimes mother prompted them, "What do you say?" "Thank you." I'm glad that they're being taught to be polite. There's some good parenting going on there. But as I thought about it, there's more than good manners being instilled in those boys. There's an attitude being implanted. The attitude of gratitude. The attitude of gratitude. Gratitude. That's what I want us to think about this morning. I suppose one of the earliest prayers that you and I were taught by our parents was the simple grace before meals. God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food. Simple, yet profound. We praise God for His goodness, and we express our gratitude for His gifts to us. The great Anglican poet and priest George Herbert wrote a prayer to God, "Thou that hast given so much to me, give one thing more, a grateful heart, not thankful when it pleaseth me, as if thy blessings had spare days, but such a heart whose pulse may be thy praise. Thou that hast given so much to me, give one thing more, a grateful heart." Gratitude to God, how important it is. Meister Eckhart said, "If the only prayer you said in your whole life was thank you, that would suffice." In our gospel story for today, we have a story of gratitude. Gratitude from an unlikely person in an unlikely place. It's the story of the healing of the 10 lepers. In Jesus' day, lepers were cut off from their community because of this terrible disease. It was a condition that was met with fear and ignorance. The leper was removed from sight, isolated from all contact with healthy people. In Leviticus, the law says, the leper who has the disease shall wear torn cloths and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone in a habitation outside the camp. Now, Jesus was going through a Samaritan region when this group of 10 lepers come up to him. They're careful not to get too close. They draw near because of their need. They keep their distance because of their disease. Their illness creates this barrier between them and others. But notice, in the presence of Jesus, they do not cry out, unclean, unclean. Instead, they cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Out of the pain of their disease and the depths of their isolation, they cry out to the Lord to have mercy. And he does. He tells them to go and show themselves to the priests, which is what the law requires when someone is healed. And as they go, they are told they are healed, that they're made clean. It means no more wearing of those torn cloths, tattered garments on a tattered body. No more long hair hanging over their blotched and blemished faces. No more yelling out, unclean, unclean, from covered lips. No more dwelling alone outside the village. But a funny thing happens on the way to see the priest. One of the lepers who was healed turned back, praising God, threw himself at Jesus' feet, and thanked him. Now, this was a despised Samaritan. He was something of a heretic, remember? Wasn't a good Jew. He was the ultimate outsider. He was a leper and a foreigner. And note, he didn't do what Jesus told him to do. He followed his heart instead of his instruction. And he showed gratitude. Now, for a long time, when I preached on this text, I would raise the normal question. Well, what about the 9 who didn't thank Jesus? But this morning, let's look at this from a different perspective. In the return of the Samaritan leper to say thank you to Jesus, we have a story that is not just about physical healing. It is a story about the healing of all those things that keep us separated from God, separated from one another, out of our pain, out of our despair. We cry out to God, and he hears us, and he heals us. When we say, Lord, have mercy on us, we are healed, we are made whole, we are restored, we are reconciled to God. And I pray that our response is that of the leper, thankfulness, gratitude. When the leper saw healing, he did not just celebrate his good fortune. He returned to praise God and fall on his face before Jesus. Someone has written, gratitude may be the purest measure of one's character and spiritual condition. And that truth is never more evident than in the story that's behind the hymn we sung at the beginning of this service, which Linda selected. Now think we all are God. Martin Rinkhart was a Lutheran pastor who came to the German city of Eilenburg at the beginning of the 30 Years' War. And that walled city became the refuge for political and military refugees. But the result was overcrowding, deadly disease, and famine. Armies overran it three times. And during the height of a severe plague in 1637, Rinkhart was the only surviving pastor in the city. He conducted more than 4,000 funerals that year, including that of his wife. And in the middle of that horror, he sat down and wrote the hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God." Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. Gratitude. I don't know if you go to Memorial Hospital very often. I hope not for being healed from an illness. But if you go by Memorial Hospital, you'll find some little signs posted by the elevators, which read, "Have you said thank you to God today?" It's a good question. It's a question posed to people who are in trouble, people who have loved ones who are sick, loved ones who are dying. And in the midst of that trouble, the question is asked, "Have you said thank you to God today?" For what? For life. For your very being. For your creation. For your redemption. For your adoption as God's own child. For all that you have been, all that you are, and all that you will be. For the promise of eternal life. The Samaritan leper returned to Jesus because a thankful heart drove him to return. May you and I, who have been blessed in so many ways by our gracious God, also say, "Thank you. Thou that hast given so much to me, give one thing more, a grateful heart, not thankful when it pleaseth me, as if thy blessings had spare days, but such a heart whose pulse may be thy praise." Amen.
Please stand with me as we profess our faith with the reading of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the holy church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love and be found without fault at the day of your coming, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Michael, our presiding bishop, for George, our own bishop, for all bishops and other ministers, and for all the holy people of God, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease and that all may be one as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in positions of public trust, especially Barack, our president, Bill and Nathan, our governors, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, for those who are present and for those who are absent, that we may be delivered from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those on our prayer list, Margaret, Jean, Nicole, J.R., Blair, and for all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, friends, and neighbors, that being freed from anxiety, they may live in joy and peace and health, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the communion of your church and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints, they may have rest in that peace place where there is no pain or grief, but eternal life. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord,
are there other intercessions? We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those who are celebrating birthdays this week, especially Joyce Grow, Eli Sargent, Dutch McGrath III, and Pat Sherrill. Rejoicing in the fellowship of the ever-blessed Virgin Mary, blessed Thaddeus, and all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another to all our life to Christ our Lord, to you, O Lord our God.
For yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. Good morning. Only one announcement I have this morning. Surprise, surprise. And that has to do with the fact that at 4 p.m. on the front lawn, we'll have the blessing of the animals. So if you've got any sort of critter that needs a blessing, I have a dog that needs an exorcism. But bring your pet. We ask that it be leashed or caged, and we'll do the blessing, and it's always a joyful time. Any other announcements? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift
them. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Thank you.
Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, the perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, remember that life is short, and we have too little time to gladden the hearts of those who travel the way with us. So be swift to love, and make haste to be kind. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.